know in my heart of hearts, just talking, that there has to be a conspiracy because of the way things go. There's somebody undermining. There's some money moving in order to keep hate alive. Instead of keeping hope alive, it's keeping hate alive. And anytime we begin to bond, the different cultures and races begin to bond, there comes an explosion somewhere. Right. And so the conversation in media begins to be built around whatever is supposed to be said. That I have to say that racism is more prevalent now than before Obama.
Well, the big question on everyone's mind, it's a gender thing, or is it? World peace, religion, sex, money, politics, climate change, big business, big ideas, and big egos. Nothing is off limits. As I'm joined by some of the most accomplished and highly opinionated women from the far left, the far right, and the far reaches of the planet. This is Malcolm Out Loud, and you're listening to Life, Liberty, and the Pursuit of Pleasure. Well, we started this conversation with the idea that it's been 50 years since the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr. And it's hard to believe it's been 50 years, but it is. And this is a man who accomplished so much in his short life. Now, I say short life because, I mean, he was killed at 39 years old. Obviously, this was it's a profound man. You know, there are certain people you think about in your mind who really shaped the country and the narrative of our talk. But I wonder now, at this point, where would we be today? How would he think about all of this? What would he look at and say, interesting, you know? If I remember right in reading some of his history, he didn't even think that we would see a black American as a president, not only in his own lifetime, but his kids' or grandkids' lifetime. He didn't think that would happen. So he obviously felt racism was alive and well in the country. Let's be clear, okay? So, you know, how have we progressed then in the 50 years or so? This is a conversation that is always interesting, but it's even more interesting here with the ladies on the show because we want to take this conversation further than the typical stereotypes and the typical rubbish. And so, listen, this is what we do on Life, Liberty, in the Pursuit of Pleasure. And let me bring in the co-host now, and we'll do a little more talking here with you and really bring this conversation forward. I think we'll learn something, I believe, here. Why? Because we have three incredible ladies on the show here. Susan Price is here. She's a Gold Star mother, national voice, and veteran advocate for justice. Dr. Faye Wilson is here. She's a radio television host and author, inspirational speaker, an ordained minister and underdog advocate. And Jennifer Breeden is here. She's the president of Breeden Law International, focusing on legal consultant, international policies, and a special focus on human rights. Now listen, ladies, we had the first part of this conversation, and, you know, we kind of went back and forth. You know, my position is pretty much that, you know, it's one of these conversations, Faye, that never seems to go away. And you know, and I got to tell you, when Barack Obama became president of the country, you know, a lot of people thought, oh, this is going to be it. This is going to be that moment in the country where, you know, we'll figure it out and we'll get over this racism business. But yet it didn't really happen. In fact, things got a little edgier, I think, and a little more controversial when he was here as president, I believe. So why is it not that a black American who was the first black American president in the nation, it certainly won't be the last, but he was the first. It took all these years to get there. Mm-hmm. Why did we not progress? I'm confused. And maybe you can help me out and start. That's a big question, but I really am confused. Now, I think most people listening are probably confused as well. What happened?
I still believe that that racism is underwritten by certain groups that continue to want to see people divided. And whether it's a black president or a black Miss America or whatever it is, there seems to be this focus in on the skin, not on the quality of the person or the character of the person, which Dr. King certainly fought for, to look at the character and not the skin. I think it's a shame that we still have to do shows like this. to make a statement that we are still in a position right now that people are not respecting or seeing people as individuals, but grouping people into stereotypes and saying certain things about that group. I think about the media's place in this. I think the media right. has perpetuated racism more than anything, because I remember growing up, and I know Susan and Jennifer, you can speak to this. I remember growing up and listening to the news, and whenever it was a Black person involved, the media would say a Black man. But if it was a Caucasian person, they wouldn't say. And I would think, why are they saying Black man did it, but they never say it was a white man who did it? That didn't mm-hmm. that didn't make sense. And so for me, it was racially intended that we want to tell you that this was bad because it was Black, or was the Black people are bad, or you put all Black people in this certain category, and then that becomes part of the culture.
Dr. Fang, hold it right there. That is what you just say. I have to, killer comment. I've never heard that put out there, I have to tell you. And you just blow it away with your phrase here, how you put, because God, Susan, Jennifer, is she right or is she right?
She's absolutely right. And I wanted to add to Dr. Fay, and it's done on purpose by those white men, the supremacists. Yeah. And you know it too, Malcolm. And I sent the ladies out Discover the Networks by George Soros and company, the grassroots of communism in disguise. These people have an agenda to separate us. Most Americans don't care what their brothers and sisters are. Most of us do not care. But there you have the media groups trying to separate and segregate us, using us against one another. Those of us that are more educated and streetwise know the true facts. That's why we're rising up now to talk about it. And these people have created the new modern day Antifas and Black Lives Matter and all these other terrorists. Groups, and there's thousands of them. And I got to tell you an interesting story. I was driving down the street in Buffalo, New York about 6 months ago, and isn't it weird that I found Black Lives Matter headquarters was in the same building as Catholic Charities? I didn't know then what I know now, because every day I'm learning more layers of this equation, of this obtuse equation. They're all one and the same. All those people behind the government, it doesn't matter what political party you are. There's a group of people, all different races, and they laugh at us because they're trying to pull the wool over on Americans and de-Americanize us by the day.
I love it. And I love, my goodness, I love listening to these women. I love the truth from Dr. Fay and from Susan, but I think it's completely true. And I think something has changed. You know, I didn't grow up in the early 60s, but, you know, most of my growing up was in the 80s and 90s. And I don't remember any of this. Yes, it was Miami. That's probably a different culture than much of America. But I don't remember that. I remember it just being something that was of the past. That doesn't mean, because I didn't grow up as an African-American or in some of these neighborhoods that aren't in, you know, Miami, but that are maybe in the South or something. So I didn't grow up with that sense of, you know, why I was different, or where if I felt that law enforcement was looking at me a little more closely, depending on the neighborhood I was in or the color of my skin. I did not experience that, but I don't remember some of the hatred that I see coming out today and some of this disconnect. And I think that there is something to be said of groups that are perpetuating, that have a motivation to stir up violence and to stir up hatred within the United States, and utilizing groups that might be more prone to feeling that disconnect. So that's what I love what Dr. Fay does, because what she does is the opposite of that. And there are a lot of people that are doing that. I think there should be more, but Dr. Fay is such a good example of those that are trying to come against and say, no, 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 it's about uniting. That's what Dr. King said. That's what all these people, it's uniting, it's equality, it's everything. It's not continuing to spread this underbelly of hatred. And I think that we've seen that more in recent years. And you know, and I love what what Susan is saying, what others are saying. I know this is true. I've seen some of these documents and about how that is the motivation is to spread that. And, you know, it's funny. We talk on this show sometimes, and I've said this on other news interviews. You know, there's all this media about these 13 Russian bots and hackers, and it's ridiculous because this sentiment, this hatred, this underbelly of America has been started by so many other groups, including the mainstream media and including so many other groups, these Soros-funded organizations and everything else. This has already been started in America, and you can't blame 13, you know, robot hackers, whatever, foreign nationals for just opening a social media account to highlight that when it's already started. That's mm-hmm. been the problem. It's just mm-hmm. an example of the problem that we are looking at something very shallow and very surface when there is really a much deeper issue that we need to be addressing, and that's unity rather than divisiveness.
Jennifer, why is it then, I want to ask you that same question, why is it that when Barack Obama was president, we didn't accomplish much in the racism category? In fact, many people believe, and even what we're saying here, they went backwards. I mean, we went backward. Why? What happened?
Well, I think, you know, one of the, and I hate to even quote or give credence to anybody, but I think it's very indicative and it helps to answer this question. I actually listened to an interview, and I normally wouldn't seek out these interviews, but I listened to an interview after the West Virginia attack with a white supremacist, the KKK, and there was all that West Virginia violence thing that went on there. They did interview one of these, you know, KKK leaders. Now, of course, today, and thank God, by the grace of God, these are a fringe group. Nobody wants to be affiliated with these guys. But they interviewed one guy and they said, what is it about now? I mean, you guys were basically dead and nothing in the 60s and, you know, been around, but you haven't been outspoken. You haven't even wanted to, you know, state that you're part of what you are. What is it about right now that's made you do that? And the one thing he said, the first thing he said was, over the last 8 years, when Barack Obama was president, there was so much talk about there. Like we would go hear him speak at certain things and hear what he would say. Myself and his little group there, whatever, in West Virginia would hear that he was talking, you know, horribly about police officers and supporting these movements where there was violence or things like that. And it seemed to divide people. And then we saw Ferguson, and he specifically mentioned that there were, you know, things being thrown into storefront windows and the violence from this. And again, I've talked about Black Lives Matter and how, you know, I've been to some of these gatherings and meetings, and I've seen that there are African-Americans, more senior leaders, not senior leaders, but more older people in the Black Lives Matter that will speak to the younger ones and say, this isn't about violence. This is not what we're for. And we're not even against police officers. It's just asking for equality and fair treatment and transparency there, you know, accountability. So I don't think it's everybody, but I think that he saw some of the younger ones. This guy, this KKK leader, saw some of these younger people, some of the violence, some of the riots, some of the destruction of property, of storefronts. And he said, after I started seeing that, then I started saying, okay, now I'm going to be public with it and speak out against, you know, the hatred we've always felt inside that was more private. And regardless of what you think, why these groups came up, he said that from his mouth, you know, that it was during those 8 years, that presidency, and seeing how the divisiveness started to continue to grow to underbelly. He almost thought that he was now, it was worth him bringing a voice to this movement of hate.
Wow. Yeah, very interestingly said. Susan, do you have any comment before we get Dr. V to chime in? Because I asked her that question right up front. Well, and before I want to give you this, anything you want to add to what Jennifer says about why we lost ground as a country? Let me ask the question first, since I'm speaking specifically, please, of when we had the first Black American as president of these United States. Why did we lose ground as a people, as a country?
From what I know and from my perspective and what I've been taught and researched, this plan started back just before I was born, a few, like 62, 63, 64 years ago. And this was already put into action, that they were going to use a man of a different color and use a woman to propagate this agenda and to the terroristic acts against America. As I say all the time, everything's weaponized. Our whole way of living has become weaponized, and it slowly progressed. But once we got into the Clinton, Bush, and Obama era, the last 30 years or 20-something plus years, it expedited, especially during Obama, because He was groomed for that position by Soros and company. And it's true. And this is all planned against Americans. And so what you see now are remnants of it. We're finding out what's been going on during his presidency. They used him as a puppet, but he was born into that. His mother was CIA, and his stepfather took part in some governmental. This is all governmental coups against the American people, and now against our now standing president, Donald Trump. So you asked me, and that's my answer.
Interesting. You know, Susan, I hear that. And then because you have some facts and I just have my gut on a lot of things that and I do read and I study and I listen to people. And I know in my heart of hearts, just talking that there has to be a conspiracy. Because of the yes. way things go, there's somebody Definitely. Undermining, there's some money moving in order mm-hmm. to keep hate alive. Instead of keeping That's hope right. alive, keeping hate alive. And anytime we begin to bond, the different cultures and races begin to bond, there comes an explosion somewhere. Right. And so the conversation in media begins to be built around whatever is supposed to be said, that I have to say that racism is more prevalent now than before Obama. Personally, I don't know any such thing personally, because where does that data come right. from? Where does that, yeah. where is that hate-o-meter? Who's reading that data? Because in my personal life and in the lives of the people that I deal with on a daily basis from all walks of life, I don't experience that. But what I do know is that it continues to thrive on something. It cannot remain as long as it has remained without some source somewhere, the devil right. using somebody to continue to feed that monster so that we can continue to be divided. And we don't understand both sides, both races and all races in this nation, that as long as we're divided, we are unstable as a nation.
That's it. That's it.
And it is
absolutely.
You know, this is already an unbelievable conversation. But listen, if you've ever needed a show or a production or a reason to really bring, you know, a subject matter forward like this on this level, this is probably the program you've been waiting for a long time. I think, from what I'm hearing already, by golly, the truthfulness here of. Listening to Jennifer, Susan, and Dr. Faye get into all of this is unbelievable. It's constant, as like Dr. Faye says. Well, it's like, you know, the news, you know. Well, see that black man today, such and such. You know, and I cringe when I hear that garbage, because I know what's going on. Anybody with half a cell of brain or an intellect above 60 knows what's going on, kids. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, it, for real. And this is what's happening out there. And we all keep watching these clowns and doing it. Well, I got to tell you what, we are being taken down the yellow brick road like never before. And, you know, this picture of Oz, I don't like it at all. We'll be right back.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount, or call 844-869-9958.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, you tuned in for a show. You wanted to learn something about this. And sure, we started talking about Martin Luther King Jr. and his 50 years. And of course, that's central to this conversation and civil rights and what's really happened in the country. Why is racism so, it seems to be so obvious, so prevalent. Listen, I went through a period of a couple of years there where I was sort of in denial. And like Dr. Faye was saying, I was listening to the same garbage on the news. Well, today, such and such in Topeka here. Did you see that black man? Such and such. I thought, shut up already. You know, it's like, but this is kind of what happens because it's all being propagated by a master agenda of some sort. What other reason? And, you know, it's all sort of on steroids there from, and it really, the tipping point a lot of this was Ferguson that got into this whole narrative and the hands up, don't shoot, and who's killing who, and blah, 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 and whose lives matter, and by golly, it got complicated. What happened? The lights went off. Something happened. Mm-hmm. So anyways, here on the show today, Dr. Faye Wilson is here, Susan Price, Jennifer Breeden. And what's the difference between the Ku Klux Klan, which Jennifer, you mentioned up front here, the KKK, and Black Lives Matter? What's the difference between those two movements? Dr. Faye, can you answer that at all by chance?
Well, in my mind, the Ku Klux Klan is based on white supremacy and that, you know, they are the gods to the earth, to purify the earth, and the only race that matters is the white race. And I do know that Black Lives Matter was founded out of the desire to shine some light on what was called racial profiling and to make sure that the world understood that it's not okay to shoot a black man just because he's black.
Yeah, sure. Nor is it okay to really stop him and give him a ticket for other reason because he's black or anything else for that matter, because he's
exactly,
you know, Asian or Hispanic or whoever or whatever, clearly. But there's a lot more to that story here, ladies, than what we're talking about here, because Black Lives Matter is not exactly what you put out there. And see, if you're really believing that, then that means the narrative out there is exactly this. You know, Jennifer, coming from your work in the Middle East and the work you do over there, and you know, talk about Muslims, and it's another group that we've sort of we've isolated, you know, as a particular racism sort of group. You know, a lot of people in the political circles, specifically on the Democratic side, they speak very harshly against the KKK, these white supremacists. And then, of course, it gets, as we've just seen, the hatred, as you were just talking about in Virginia and so on and so forth. It became a big story, Jennifer, okay? Mm-hmm. Well, with all that said, it's funny how they sort of defend the Muslim culture when you're talking about isolating a particular group and what they do, because the way Dr. Faye just described Black Lives, KKK, many people would say is the same, really, goal of Islam, is to, they only want to be the ones to survive, live, and you would, I know you'll agree with that, Jennifer. I mean, so they would be in the same category as the KKK, really, if you think about it. But yet the left really doesn't so much poo-poo them. They seem to embrace more of this, you know, we don't want the Muslim ban, we don't want walls, we want to have an open society, you know, just come on in, we'll take anybody, whoever, however, whatever, you know, this is really the attitude out there. And then, you know, but it's the same sort of thing. But yet, you know, with this whole talk about Black Lives Matter, it really was never about Black Lives Matter. And again, back to this lost narrative a moment. I mean, this definitely comes from, there are, Hollywood is all over this thing. I mean, Beyonce and Jay-Z are so indoctrinated into this hate culture group. And back to Soros, what Susan would say, I'm sure. They're all over this thing. And that's not their goal. If you look at what their message is, kill cops, kill police, we hate them all, we don't like white people. I mean, they're no better than the KKK. I mean, come on, Jennifer, what the hell? Well, how are they any better?
Oh, Malcolm, I'm gonna answer and speak to your point. Just actually not even using my words, using the words of the people I've met with and worked with in the Middle East. So okay. I'm gonna, specific countries. Actually, I'll do three people that I've worked with. I have very specific contacts and networking there in Iraq, and Saudi Arabia and Egypt. I'm going to use those three places. I have friends in each of those places. These are contacts I work with, and I just speak to them about issues either going on in their country, what's happening there with Islamists. These are the ones you're talking about that are violent radicals, things like that. Now, most of these people are born into a Muslim family, but they fight against radicals. That's why they work with me. So I'm just going to use what their words have actually said about this movement with Black Lives Matter or the KKK. First thing is, one, they would say, we wish that the radical Islamists were as harmless as the KKK. And by harmless, I mean they don't see the KKK going in with bombs strapped to their chests into schools to blow everybody up. If it's an all black school or something like that, or even trying to shoot people. Yes, they're saying horrible things, but they've been used to the Muslim extremists saying horrible things against even them, because they would be the more, you know, I even hate the word moderate, but they would be the reformers and things like that. So they say it's absolutely ridiculous how horrible these people are, and that you guys are defending them, and that your greatest threat is some, you know, a bunch of white nationalists that nobody even likes, that just comes out and says, you know, hateful words. We wish that was our biggest problem, because our biggest problem is how many suicide bombers are going to attack our children today. And so that's what they say. They don't understand it. I don't understand it. And it's just a matter of how we look at the issues. What issue matters? And in the United States, it's all political. It's not who's actually the biggest threat or who could be the biggest threat or discerning truth. Mm-hmm. In the United States, it's what is the message? And like Dr. Faye said so brilliantly, and Susan has pointed out, where is the money right now? You know, I talk about a lot the Southern Poverty Law Center. And that's just one organization. And there's some things they come out with are good. But this is an organization that actually has its own separate branch called the SPLC Hate Groups. And it actually tracks and highlights all the hate acts. And when I first looked into them, and I actually was able to get, well, anybody can get their nonprofit tax statements, quote unquote, nonprofit. This is an organization worth over $340 million. And that's the last time I checked, about a year ago, $340 million. Now, that can be some of that money comes from maybe factions in the Middle East and Europe. A lot of money comes from Europe. We can't see exactly which countries or who donates. We can probably guess, though. But their money comes from Europe. Morris Dees was the founder of Southern Poverty Law Center. And this is a man, you can read articles on him, who's actually made his life's calling is about which issue in America matters to the biggest donors at the time. So he started it during the civil rights movement, did do some good work in Alabama, some of the lawyers he's hired, things like that. But since then, it's just become what issue makes the most money. And right now, under some of these Islamists, he gets a lot of money in any groups that say anything bad about Islam. And the Muslims I work with in the Middle East are like, we talk about how horrible Islam is and the radical elements of it. We're Muslims ourselves, and we know who these guys are. And you guys aren't even allowed to talk about it in the United States. So I think, you know, when we see these things, it's we have lost sight. Again, it's going back to, we've lost sight of the deeper fundamental issues. Yep, and we're only doing the shallow, what's most important at the time. That's not to say the KKK is not a threat. Of course they are. But it's the fact that we put so much energy and effort into saying, you know, this is the group we're going to demonize today. And that's what the mainstream media does. Right. That's what some of these other things do, rather than let's look at everything that's a threat and try to come together.
Jennifer, you're in a very unique place. Every time this conversation comes up, I never have a hesitation or any pause in me to throw the conversation to you, because of your background, your nature, historical education in the Middle East and swamped in racism all over. You're in a very unique position in place to talk about these kinds of topics, I think, and really elevate it in a very, very unique way. There's something here with you, because you really, you're very believable in so many ways, because you can really isolate the problem. So kudos to you. Kudos to you with your study and your background. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I know I haven't said in the last few weeks about you being president in a while, so I apologize. But you would be able to change the narrative in this country. Jennifer Breeden for president in 2020 or 2024, if you want to get Trump to finish the other 4 years.
Only with you guys.
Well,
that's all the crux of my work, is learning from people like you guys and getting that from those on the ground.
Well, we are. We're learning all from each other in many, many ways. So, Susan, I know you have a lot to say about this specifically, and I have quite a bit of follow-up myself I'd like to shine a light on to educate folks. But here's the problem. Let me just set the table with this. if we're going to talk about, like Dr. Faye, where we started this conversation today, really what racism is, and we're going to talk about the roots of that and not do all of this pointing games back and forth, really have to uncover these major, major points of this. This is a heavy, now this is a topic that nobody really wants to talk about. I have no problem talking about anything on this platform. I'll talk about anything. So, but this is a topic most people get very, it's very sensitive, but they get very, you know, blown away. When we go into these kinds of topics and stuff, because it's a lot of heavy lifting. That these are the kinds of things that people want to push under the carpet. They don't really want to talk about this. It's not the kind, but this is the kind of stuff we need to really talk about at the dinner table if we're going to change the narrative. You see what I mean? You know, I mean, that's what's going to have to happen, really. But Susan, there's a lot to say about you, as you already know, Black Lives Matter. But here's what I see all of this as nothing but hatred and vile. And all these people, and when you always say follow the money, follow this, follow that, I totally get it. I mean, everybody needs to get that. You hear Jennifer put her, deal out there with what she says. And even Dr. Faye said, you all catching on to what we're talking about now? Is everybody sort of catching on? Because Dr. Faye started her thing a while ago to say, hey, watch this money thing. Watch the power. Something's wrong here. Something doesn't add up, kids. Because I asked a simple question, why aren't we better off than when, you know, I mean, it's not real complicated, kids. I mean, come on.
So, Susan,
I mean, I know you have a lot to say about it. I know I'm in a rant here, and I got a lot to say about this, too. But so I'll shut the hell up and tell me what's on your mind, please, about this BLM.
Well, no, I mean, I think we all get it. We all see. We can connect the dots.
Amen.
And, you know, they're both progressive Marxist revolutionary groups. And using color and, again, to segregate and separate. And we all know what happens from there.
Like, see, Susan, anything that divides us, right, Susan?
Anything. And hate is a master of deceit.
Well, that's evidence 101. I mean, that's in, you know, the first envelope of evidence to the court here. I mean, is anything that divides us, hate is right there.
And like Dr. Faye, you know, my world, my friends don't act like that. We have intermarried people groups, and we don't live like that. It's being propelled by CNN and these other groups. Right, in fact, CNN's at the heart of it all.
Well, they're all there, but
it's unbelievable.
You know, I look at it this way. I see, ladies, here's what I'm seeing. I see God at the dinner table here, and he's thinking about this whole earth thing and creating all the people here, okay? So this is what I'm seeing, Faye. So play with me here a moment. So so God is at the dinner table one time, and he says, so what are we going to do here? How are we going to make this earth thing and these people, you know, what are they going to be like? And, you know, well, we'll give them two arms and two legs, and yeah, we'll give them a heart and a brain. And all that. I mean, I'm so fascinated with the human, the human body and the way we tick and all the moving pieces. I see all these widgets turning around and all of the sprockets and the sprockets and the bings and the bangs and the booms. And I'm saying, wow, how can anybody not believe in God? I mean, it's like, is that even possible? I mean, do you think we were like some science flick or something, or we came off some microorganism off a rock somewhere of an asteroid that just happened to hit each other and propagate this? I mean, get out of here. What are you people on? You're on some sort of crack addict, or talk about opioid. My golly, they're on something. But how can you not believe in that? So here we are, we're these creatures here now. But I see God at the dinner table, ladies. And I see God saying, okay, we're going to create some people. Now, what do we want to do here? Well, we create some arms and legs, but now they look a little boring. Yeah, so we got this. And of course, you know, God is the spirit that says, well, is God black? Is he white? They find everything to fight about and bitch about in this country. Well, has he got, you know, what is he, 6 feet or 4 feet? Is he a midget or is he tall? Is he a man or a woman? Is he black or is he white? Is he Hispanic or is he Asian? Has he got, you know, what is he? I mean, yeah, these people just don't get it. You know, they argue about what Santa Claus looks like. You know, what is he, black or white? You know, so there's this whole thing that's perpetuated from all this. And so I see God there finally saying, okay, so we got this person here. And maybe the first person he ever thought up in his mind, maybe it was a black fellow. Maybe it was a black fellow. Maybe it was brown. Maybe it was yellow. Maybe it was green. Maybe it was purple. Maybe it was aqua blue. I have no freaking idea what color he was, but he's got a color there in mind. Maybe, all right, he creates it. It's aqua blue. Okay, so he's got an aqua blue print. It doesn't look right, though. So God says, yeah, I don't know, that color's just not working right for the skin. We gotta get back to the science experiment here. Okay, well, let's get back to the lab here, and we'll play it around a little bit more. And then the next color, we'll tone that down. Now it's a gray. Well, let's try brown, a little brown there. Oh, I like that. Maybe the first human thought in his mind was a black person or a brown person or something. Yeah, I like that. I like that. Now let's create some different examples of people that make them a little different, and their culture can be different. And let's spice it up a little bit. Yeah, okay, cool. So now we'll have a black, a brown, a white, this or that or the other. Now we got all these different creatures and say, yeah, that looks kind of cool. That could be like a, you know, it's like a whodunit game, Dr. Faye, you understand? So now we got all these different creatures. He's labeled with different colors. Yeah, I like that. No aqua blue, no scarlet red, unless you went out in the sun too long on the beach, you know. And but we'll go ahead and we'll have this. And I don't know. Is it as simple as that? I mean, I think somehow we were all supposed to be different. I mean, like that's not really too complicated to me. That's my simple mind, how my simple mind works, ladies. It's like, is it like, what's the big freaking deal? What color you got or where you, I mean, I don't, like, what's all that about? And then you get the KKK and the Black Lives Matter and the Blue Lives Matter and you suck and you're no good and you stink and blah, blah, blah. And I tell you what. It's a mess.
Yeah.
I don't think this was God's experiment intention, Dr. Faye. I think something went wrong here, huh?
Yeah, hearts went wrong. God intended for diversity. I mean, you know, from the Tower of Babel, and people were scattered all over the earth. And differences happen because of climates. You're in the desert, you're going to have a different skin, hair is going to change, things are going to change. But you bring up an interesting point, Malcolm, is that the religious part and the religious contribution to racism, because the church in its foundation is the center point for bringing people together. Okay, so people can fellowship and learn to grow and thrive together.
Well, that was the concept.
Yeah, that was the concept. We have strayed so far away from that until it's become an institution, and it's also funded, and people have lost not everyone, but there are a lot of people who have lost the consciousness of God, and it's not about him anymore. It's about the brick and mortar. It's about the money. It's about the fame, the power, the influence. So it has become just as political as Washington, D.C. It's sad to say, but I can say that. And I've watched it not grow and thrive, but I've watched it fall apart and go the way of politics more than the way of God. And instead of bringing people together and creating unity, it has created more division. And if we look in history, even during slavery in the United States, where the slaves were, if they were brought into the church by their masters, they couldn't sit with their masters. They had to sit in the balconies away from the masters.
Yeah,
they weren't allowed
pictures,
to read. These are all truths and facts that have happened through history. And so the church has had its role in creating this division.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Well, that seems to be their political philosophy, is all I'm saying. And they said, yeah, we believe in diversity. Well, no kidding. I mean, what? We believe in diversity. It's like saying the sky is blue, the grass is green, blah, blah, blah. You know, and that's what a lot of people use in the political circles, ladies, is I believe in diversity. If you have to say you believe in diversity, you don't even know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Okay? I believe in diversity. Yeah, yeah. I get it. I mean, if you've got to say all that, something's wrong. Now, you know, I get all of that. It's like, because we're all trying to prove we're not racist. I'm not really racist, Dr. Faye, because, you know, I talked to a black person just yesterday. I'm not and racist.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, I really did. I talked to a Hispanic mm-hmm. the day before that and a couple of Asians last week. I'm not racist, I assure you. Okay, all right, you're good. We gave you the pass today, Malcolm. You're a good boy. I mean, so, wow.
So you have it on your T-shirt.
I got it, yeah, got it right here, honey.
Yeah, I'm not racist.
Yeah, we need to do an America Out Loud shirt up like that, Dr. Faye. We'll sell a bunch of them, really. A grunt style. I love this grunt style, you know. It's kind of, it's patriotic, you know. I'm not a racist. And we'll just do that. Listen, I want to talk to you a moment here about, Dr. Faye, we need to clear something up, though, a moment here. Back to this, which you're very accurate with. I mean, you're, like, say, who started that? Who said that first? Where's that narrative come from? Who did? Because we know everybody's got an agenda here. All right. Mm-hmm. So here's the problem. Back to Black Lives Matter. You know, when that first started happening, when you really didn't pay attention, as a lot of people didn't, and as you thought, you really weren't sure what they were all about, Dr. Faye, when we talked some months ago as well. You were sort of like, yeah, I think that's the group that's trying to stand up for young Black men, and I think they're probably doing some okay, good work.
Sure.
Which a lot of people out there believe that. Well, they're founded again by Marxists, revolutionaries, you could call it. This is what the Black Lives Matter movement. But here's what really matters. Who said what? What said who? Who said, why are they bad, Malcolm? Well, let me read to you their quotes in a lot of their marches and things. So, and these are their words now. These are not my words. I did not say these things. I'm going to repeat to you now, kids, at the water cooler. But here's what they said. They said these words here. They said here at a march in 2014, what do we want? Dead cops. What do we want now? You know, and then pigs in a blanket. Fry them up like bacon. Yeah, okay. And of course, that's the body bags. The bacon is the body bags. They want to put them in and so on and so forth. You know, it's open season on killing white people and crackers. Okay, now that's on radio programs and what have you. What makes that any damn difference than the KKK, who is out there saying they want to be the supremacists? Like, white supremacists are a really bad thing to the Black cultural. Yeah, like hell it is. Well, why is the Black Lives Matter movement any better? I find them an offense. I don't find like I want to be hanging with these cats. Yeah, it's open season on killing the white people and the crackers. And then they're screaming out another thing. F you, you filthy white. F. I can't say the words here. Clearly, we run a sort of a quasi-family show here, friends, you know. But F you. It's all over the place here. You and your, you know, you kill them, kill the whites, kill them right now. Come on, you bitch. I mean, these are the words here. These are their words. Kill your grandkids, you know. So now, with all of that said, and people out there think somehow this is some revolutionary group that's doing a lot of good because they want to save young Black people. Yeah. This is a modern day KKK flip reversed on steroids. Mm-hmm. I mean, the KKK is scum piece of you-know-what, and these people, these are their neighbors.
Well, that makes me sad to hear that.
I thought it would, love.
It does. It breaks my heart because I know that all lives matter. That's my mindset.
Of course it is.
And I'm not changing my heart.
Well, they would ridicule you. Now, you would really offend these people. When that was in the narrative, Faye, when that was in the news, they said, well, you can't say all lives matter. That's racist, Dr. Faye. You can't say that. You're not protecting the... That's racist. That's what was said.
I'm God's child, and I can say that all lives matter. And God cares for Blacks and whites and Hispanics and Latinos and Puerto Ricans.
Well, because he was at the dinner table and he got bored one night and it looked boring and there was only one person and the person was aqua blue and he said, this isn't working. And he put brown and black and yellow and white and, you know, whatever he could think that would make sense. That's all. They didn't want aqua blue and scarlet red, but we had took some other colors. I mean, he got bored one night, and that was how we all got here. And it's like, okay, we'll give him a brain and a heart. They'll figure this stuff out somehow. I don't know.
I think the diversity, as we call it, I understand you don't like the word, but...
Oh, I love the word. I just think it's a kumbaya word the left throws around like a freaking frisbee. Yeah, we got diversity over here. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, look at me. But I think that God's plan in my mind is this is the greatest opportunity to love beyond yourself. And because people appear to be different, we are not really that different. We're all the same internally. If you needed a kidney and mine match, you know, that you wouldn't care if it came from a black woman, right?
Could I have that in writing? That you'll donate your kidney.
I'll think about it. And you won't care if you needed my blood. You know, you don't care because it's all the same. And it is so childish to me to measure people by their skin color.
Well, it's not only childish, Dr. Faye, but it is retarded.
I knew you had another word for it.
It is retarded. It is humanly retarded, okay? That these people, it is sick. It is sick. So listen, I got to tell everybody, when we came on the show today, I had a bit of a headache. I had a migraine, something, I don't know, just working, right? And I said to Dr. Faye, I said to Jennifer, I said to she, oh man, I got a headache. Oh, we started the production a little bit later. Oh, okay, I'm here. You know, and I said, I'm not going to say too much in the first segment. I'm going to let you guys talk and I'll stand back a little bit. Okay, cool. Malcolm's going to shut the hell up. That'll be something new. I'm sure they said that to themselves, you know. And then I shut up in the first segment, as you know, and I didn't say too much. I want to hear what their thoughts are. And then, you know, and I'm like a yo-yo then. You wind me up and, like, forget about it. And then it's like, here I am. All right, Jennifer, Susan. All right, I know. You hear my rants. You hear me going. But, you know, I'm like one of those toys. You wind it up, you know, and you let it go. And I'm just, you know, my whole out loud truth thing, ladies, is I'm just tired of the bullshit, okay? I really, when I say about the out loud truth, it's just the bullshit is messy. And it's all these lies and thievery and garbage that people want to stroll around thinking like they think they're you don't know what does. I mean, it's garbage. Jennifer, you listen to me go on and you say, what? I mean, I said some pretty radical things here. I mean, you disagree with any of it. You agree with it. You fall asleep. I wake your ass up. What's going on over there?
Can it be all? No, I'm just kidding. It's not. You know, I think there's some truth to it. And I think that there are a lot of listeners, I'm sure, that will empathize with you and with all of this, though, and understanding that frustration, that anger, hearing some of these chants. I think we're all angry, of course, when we hear these chantings of, you know, kill all the police or do these kinds of things. I don't think anyone's as angry as Dr. Faye is. Of course, we're all angry, but I think that's part of what people like her and Dr. King, I think he would have been the most angry and saying, this is not what I do.
See, that's where I started this, Jennifer. That's where I started this.
I love his essays. He talks about civil disobedience. He was so careful to outline exactly what he did, and that's when a law is unjust, an unjust law which goes against God's moral authority and truth, which is what Dr. Faye was saying, that all lives matter. When a law is unjust, then it's okay to disobey that in a peaceful manner. That's always what he did. None of these chantings for death or things like that are okay or against what he did. It also goes for the right wing, the far right wing groups that chant the same things. Anybody that chants death to anyone, race, religion, nationality, whatever, is bad. And when I say chanting death to any race or religion, I'm talking about even radical Islamists as well, because they're the ones doing that. Even people that are worried or have a fear of Islam, a lot of times, especially in America, the people that come out against it or say, hey, we don't want Muslims here right now. Some of them, I have met some that do just hate all Muslims, but some of the people are just like, we just don't understand. We haven't known. We haven't had a president that explained us what it is. We did have a president for 8 years that got up and said, this is not Islam, when the attackers themselves would say, we are Islam. So, I mean,
well, Jennifer, my answer back to that,
being treated like they were stupid.
My answer back to that, love, is we just don't want people to kill us. I mean, it's not so hard to ask, honey. I mean, come on.
And so that's what it is. It's that we're just not being told things. And it's a lot easier to say, stay out, if we don't understand it.
Call them what you want.
And that's part of it.
Yeah, call them what you want. Muslim, Mamomi, Mamimi, Mamimo. I mean, whatever the hell it is, I don't really care. But just don't kill us. We don't want you coming around with your bombs and your stuff and pulling people apart. Yeah, we don't. That's the one thing we are very racist against. We are racist against death. Do you understand that, ladies?
Death from all places. Exactly. Anybody that
But those people are not racist against it. They're not. That's what they want. You understand what I'm saying here, lady? Mm-hmm. That's where I'm racist and I draw the line, Dr. Faye. And I'm not bending for nobody. How's that?
I know you're not. And, you know, I think that there's so many moving pieces here. Mm-hmm. And that we have got this nation in such an unstable place, emotionally, psychologically. If we look at it as a person, psychologically, it is totally bent and need to have a reconditioning. And I believe in my heart of hearts that it's going to take people who have their focus right and have a love and compassion and mercy for humanity to shift the consciousness. I don't like what I see. I don't like hearing kill this one or kill that. I don't like hearing those words because I know they're not godly words. That's not the heart of God. It wasn't the heart of Dr. Martin Luther King or anybody else who made a difference in the world. Yeah. And so I think we are on the precipice, not the precipice. I think we're already here. Mm-hmm. I think we're entrenched right now in the greatest shift in consciousness. Right. And that America Out Loud is playing a part. And I know I say these things, but this from my heart. It's the truth.
Sure,
it's playing such a huge part in shifting the consciousness and bringing hope alive again.
Dr. Faye, thank you. I mean, come on, you know.
It's the truth, you know, and I thank God for this opportunity because we really are letting the silent voices be heard. We're giving voice for people who are afraid, people who just don't know where to turn, don't have an answer. Right. All they have is the mass media, and this is their alternative.
Well,
for
it's amazing. You are absolutely amazing. In whatever political office you run for, I'm going to not only vote for you, but I'm going to donate and help get you to win. All right, now, Susan Price, I know you're still there, love. And I want to say to you, I want to ask you right here in front here. Susan, we've talked about these things before, right? Some of these conversations, they're not new here on this platform. And I know you're always blessed to be so appreciative. You're doing a lot of the heavy lifting on this platform, and I so appreciate you and everything you bring to us. But I want to ask you something now. We just talked about a lot over the last 2 hours in part one of this show and now part two. And I really love what we just talked about in this show. And I had to get a little in the face of the conversation because sometimes you have to do that, Susan, to get one's attention, to explain it in a simple manner when I talk about God at the dinner table. You know, I don't know sometimes how to explain these things that people need to understand what we're talking about. Now, we just uncovered some pretty profound things. I think Dr. Faye just learned some things when the show expires here. She just discovered something she didn't really know. I think listeners just discovered something. So we're not about, and this is not about hate in any shape, form, or style. We are racist against death and hate. That's it. Everything else is good and good to go. We're happy, man.
Right.
And Susan, so when you hear all of that, and you hear some of the things I said about in covering the Black Lives business, back to the KKK and the supremacist stuff, I'm better than you. It's all about I'm better than you. It's like that's what this whole thing is about, Susan, and money and power and greed.
Yeah.
Sum it up for me. Sum it up for me. Take 60 seconds. Sum it up, please.
For me to sum it up, and we talk about this at my dinner table. This is the 1% trying to leverage the 99% of the world. And these are the secret organizations. These are corporations. These are lobbyists. And back when Dr. King was alive, they haven't really grown into themselves. Now they've overgrown into themselves. And we're at a match-off right now. We're fighting tooth and nail because Americans are waking up and we're seeing these corporate entities and these military-industrial complex and bankers and all rising up to fight against the American people in every way that they can to start wars and hate. And they don't believe what we believe. Their beliefs are different. Most of us do believe in God, but a lot of them don't. And then you hear their stories and what they're into and certain Luciferian deities, which is very, very scary. And hence, there's disrespect for human life. And then you hear about the high rate of abortion
this goes into so many, every aspect of our life. They're taking the sacred out of our life. They're trying to take the God out of our life.
The thread is what you just talked about so well, Susan, Lucifer. That is the common denominator of all of these conversations and activities we are having here. It's Lucifer. It is alive and well. Yeah. Evil, and don't tell me evil doesn't exist. I don't even want to hear that. I mean, evil absolutely exists. And the forces and fight every day of evil versus good, I know, because it's all around me. I mean, evil tries all the time to come in. And obviously, I'm a force of energy it cannot reckon with, you see. So it's not possible to reckon with me. He's tried. They try. Just not successful. Because, you know, they go after people who are making a difference, you see. Yeah. So I'm definitely culprit number one for that kind of a program, for sure. But listen, I think this is probably one of the most interesting conversations that we've had on this topic, Jennifer, Susan, and Dr. Fay. This is really one of the most pivotal moments and interesting, enlightening conversations that we were able to really peel the onion back, ladies. You know that? I hope you feel it.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that. I feel
it. Oh, yeah. No.
Yeah. I think we've made an impact, a difference.
We have. I just want you all to recognize that right now before we depart here and say, you know, this was really a big conversation, but it's one that you want to listen to again to really understand. We just defined what it is, and we talked about the problem. You've got to discover the roots of the problem and understand what's going on to be able to fix the problem, friends. You see what I'm saying? And now we obviously chart a course here to fix the problem. You hear Dr. Fay say, you know, she's been waiting for this day to get a platform like America Out Loud. I mean, this has been her journey. Her journey is to lift people up in this lifetime. It is the same journey, actually, that Jennifer Breeden and Susan Price are on. That's the miraculous thing about this platform that is mind-blowing, with just the most sensational, brilliant, fabulous people that exist. And every day people are reaching to this platform at America Out Loud. In fact, here's the email address. It's very simple. talk@americaoutloud.com. Dr. Fay Wilson, Susan Price, Jennifer Breeden. This is Malcolm Out Loud. To be continued, friends.